space, the final frontier. But lest we forget, that frontier also spans the very fabric of time. Past, present, future, all maintain a delicate balance, and if compromised, could threaten our very existence. That's where I come in, doing my job to the best of my ability on a daily basis. I work here, the Department of Temporal Investigations. I carry a badge.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear was true until the participants went back in time and altered the events. Some of the names have been changed due to paradoxical anomalies. Tonight's episode, Chronicide. Or Murder in the Fourth Dimension.
It was starting 51794.2. It was a Wednesday, 7:30 a.m. It was another ordinary day, but that day, I had a strange feeling. A feeling that the space-time continuum would open up and everything that we hold dear and good in this universe would be sucked away, leaving utter chaos in its wake. It was just a hunch. My name's Dahmer. My partner's name is Luxley. We're Federation agents. 7:45 a.m. We were working day watch at a spatial rift division when I got the call. Dahmer here. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we'll be out there right away.
Trouble?
With a capital T. Let's go.
Where to?
Deep Space Nine.
Again?
I'll explain on the way. We've been called out to DS9 once before. Captain Sisko and other members of the station had traveled back in time to prevent a renegade Klingon agent from killing the legendary starship captain, James T. Kirk. No irrevocable damages to the timeline had occurred, and only minor reprimands were filed. This time was different. It seemed a hole in the space-time continuum had opened up, and everything that we hold dear and good in this universe was being sucked away, leaving utter chaos in its wake. Like I said, it was just a hunch. Stardate 51794.5, 10:45 a.m. We arrived at the station through docking port 7. The artificial environment was maintaining a cool 24 degrees Celsius. We were greeted by marauding 14th century Mongol hordes.
These humans from Earthcast are totally without honor. We must seal off this area quickly. Follow me. I am Lieutenant Commander Worf. Who are you?
Dahmer and Luxley, DTI. We're here to see Captain Sisko.
Look out! They're throwing their crude weaponry!
Sharpened animal bone fragments fastened to wooden poles.
Spears?
Stay down! I will protect you! Know the wrath of my phaser! Take that! And that! And that! And that! Ah!
What happened?
They took it. It does not matter. We are at the entrance of the corridor. Help me secure the passageway. She pressed those red buttons in a descending sequence. Now move aside while I smash this access panel. They are trapped for now. Come, I will take you to the captain.
Stardate 51794.6, 11:02 a.m. It seemed the entire space station was being overrun by unauthorized groups of historical beings. We were ushered into the office of Captain Benjamin Sisko, where he briefed us on the situation.
Gentlemen, I am sorry to have to call on you again. It is not my intention to make this kind of incident a habit.
Just the facts, Captain.
The Federation was interested in questioning a Cardassian defector, one Gul Magak. I enlisted the help of a resident of the station, a Cardassian tailor, Garrick.
Garrick?
Exiled on the station upon Starfleet's arrival, and eventually confirmed as a former Obsidian Order spy, with a gift for interrogation.
Precisely! I had relied on Garrick's counsel before, but I did not anticipate Garrick's reaction to our guest.
Didn't get along, did they?
The moment our backs were turned, Garrick vaporized him.
This sounds like a matter for Starfleet security, Captain. What's this have to do with a gaping hole in the space-time continuum?
That's the incredible thing. The moment Gul Magak was murdered, all hell broke loose. Some sort of temporal dimensional breach or rupture opened and began spewing out historical groups from all of time. Vietnam combat troops, 11th century crusaders, Hannibal's elephants, Plotidian warrior wasps from Werta Prime.
Yeah, sir?
It was as if the space-time continuum had opened up
and everything that we hold dear and good in this universe is being sucked away, leaving utter chaos in its wake.
Not bad.
What's Garrick's story?
He denies any knowledge of the situation and proclaims his innocence. He's in the brig.
Sorry for the interruption, Captain.
Yes, Major Kira.
Garrick has just escaped.
Sisko, we need to question this Garrick character.
I'll put out an alert to block all shuttle bay exits.
I don't think that will be necessary, Major.
Captain?
I know Garrick. If he is innocent, as he maintains, he'll return to the Rupture to vindicate himself.
And if he is the one responsible?
Then that's still where his master plan begins.
Let's go. Where's the origin of the temporal breach?
Follow me. The Rupture opened immediately after the murder of Gul Magak in Garrick's tailor's shop. The shop is on the promenade adjacent to Corpse Bar. Here, we'll take this turbo lift. Level 7, Section 5.
There's one other thing, Captain. I received a distress call from Corp.
What is the problem?
On level 7, section 5 of the promenade, velociraptors are tearing up Quark's Bar. And in Quark's Bar, level 2, Hollow Suite 4, Toronto Raptors are tearing up the basketball court. Here we are. Captain! Quark's Bar! The customers are rushing from the exit! The dinosaurs are chasing them out! Look out, it's Quark and...
Make way for the Grand Vegas! Ah! Quark! I hold you personally responsible for my well-being and for the well-being of the 10 bars of gold-pressed platinum that were swallowed by that thing!
Negus, I had nothing to do with it. These kinds of things happen all the time. Ever since the humans took control of the station.
Negus, come back!
Captain, you have to do something. These ancient lizards are consuming all the synthahol reserves and defecating on the Davo wheel.
We haven't time for this, Quark.
But, Captain...
Major, stay here and give Quark a hand. Gentlemen, Garrick's shop is just ahead.
Garrick, open the door! Don't be a fool. This is no way to prove your innocence.
This is the entrance, gentlemen. And this is our chief of security, Odo. What's the situation, Constable?
Captain, he's barricaded the door.
Did you try reasoning with him?
He refuses to talk to anyone but you.
Did you try using a phaser?
I thought it unadvisable. The breach seems to absorb energy.
Did you try shape-shifting into a Cardassian female and calling you who, lover boy, come and get me?
No, but I did try suspending an anvil above a dish of Cardassian Simhal stew with a sign reading free food.
Garrick, it's Captain Sisko. Let us in. You know I'll treat you fairly.
I know you will, Captain, and I would love to let you and the Constable and those wonderful DTI agents in. But it seems that this little temporal anomaly is feeding off my shop's life support systems and that nothing is operational right now, including my door.
Better scan it.
Uh-huh. The temporal breach is draining energy.
Draining energy? Computer, what is the status of the station's life support?
Life support system down by 20%. Environmental atmosphere deteriorating. Station power grid unstable. Station core reactor meltdown imminent.
What the hell is happening to my space station?
How the hell should I know?
Captain, I believe the door is about to open. You gentlemen might want to stand back.
Something's blown the door wide open.
What is that machine? I've never seen anything like it before.
20th century army tank.
A heavily armored combat vehicle that moves on tracks, deployed during World War II by General George S. Patton.
All right, you bastards, secure the field!
Sir, there's only a corridor, sir!
Then secure the corridor! Now I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor bastard die for his country. All right, you bastards, move out! Move, 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 move!
Gentlemen, our passageway is no longer obstructed. Shall we proceed?
Come on, let's get inside and take a look at this thing.
Ah, customers. I'm afraid I'm a little short on inventory right now, but I am featuring this rather large pulsating space-time distortion. It's quite fashionable. Extremely bright and colorful shimmering light is in this season. Now, I suggest you shield your eyes and keep clear. All sorts of madness can come jumping out without warning. Now, I only have one at the moment, but I am taking orders.
You can cut the comedy, mister. You're in a lot of trouble.
I assure you, Captain, I had nothing to do with this so-called murder.
Uh-huh. We've heard that one before.
But believe me, gentlemen, if I wanted to murder someone, I would not do it in such an obvious and haphazard way.
Oh, yeah?
Give me some credit. I would have exercised some subtlety.
That's true. This isn't Garrett's style.
Why, Constable, I never would have imagined that you would be defending me.
Then what happened? Cardassian defectors don't just vanish into thin air.
Dumber. My chronometric tricorder is detecting a high level of chronoton particle emissions coming from the center of the breach.
Chronoton. That would indicate a quantum flux.
A state of dimensional instability.
Leaving utter chaos in its wake.
What if a Cardassian to devise the way of channeling chronoton particles?
But why would they want to destroy reality?
Maybe that wasn't their plan. Maybe something went wrong.
Maybe. What if? These theories are unwarranted. Cardassians destroying the universe? My people would never sink that low.
You got a better explanation? Or perhaps you know something we don't?
It's quite clear to me that there is only one way to solve this mystery.
And what's that?
I'm going to enter the rupture and find out what is on the other side.
You'll find out what's on the other side, all right, mister. On the other side of this life.
If you enter without the proper quantum signature, your atoms will be split apart and thrown to all four corners of the temporal universe.
Well, if that's true, then how do you account for these random history lessons we've been experiencing?
These historical entities exist in a quantum reality. They're in a state of temporal flux, and will be marooned from their original time stream until the breach is repaired.
Or until everything that we hold dear in front of this universe is sucked away, leaving utter chaos.
Will you stop saying that?
The only way to shut this thing down is from its source, and we'll have to go in to do it. If we can close this hole in space-time before the universe is sucked in, all existence will return to its normal timeline.
If a normal timeline exists.
But you just said that no one can survive in there.
No one whose quantum signature isn't first remodulated.
And you can do this?
We're the time police.
We'll have to travel through to each breach point in time. We must determine the exact space-time coordinates from the various rupture points. Using this data, we'll be able to close the rupture at its origin.
Okay. I'm with you. And Garrick, you're coming too.
Negative, Captain. This job is a job for the DTI. We're trained professionals and I won't risk the lives of innocent civilians.
I'm not asking, sir. I am telling you. I am responsible for the lives of some 7,000 men and women and miscellaneous. And it is my job to protect them, especially from the Cardassians.
And him?
Garrick is an expert on Cardassian treachery.
Captain, you flatter me.
Very well, Captain. You can accompany us. It's well within Regulation 78D, Section 9, Paragraph 3.
Odo, I need you on the station to help keep the peace while we're gone.
Good luck, sir.
And Constable, if we don't make it back, make sure Jake gets my Buck Buckeye autographed baseball.
Captain, if you don't make it back, the entire universe would implode.
You've got a point.
Hang on, gentlemen. From here on in, things are going to get weird.
Is he joking?
We don't tell jokes.
Are you all right, Captain?
Are you sure about this quantum remodulation?
Trust us, Captain. Top-of-the-line Federation equipment.
I find myself strangely unreassured. Have you ever done anything like this in the past?
Never.
But apparently we've done it once in the future.
Long story.
Wait! What's that light?
The one at the end of the tunnel?
Yes.
That would be the end of the tunnel.
Where are we?
It appears to be a Starfleet sickbay.
Luxley, get a reading on the breach's coordinates.
Local star date, 50625.7. Time jump of about 4 months into the past. Spatial displacement. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
If these readings are right, we're somewhere in the Delta Quadrant.
But that can't be. There is no Federation vessel in the Delta Quadrant.
I'm afraid. afraid you're incorrecting your assumption.
Do Starfleet doctors always point phasers at strangers?
Let me think. When those strangers emerge from a breach in the space-time continuum that appears without warning in place of our Borg prisoner, yes.
I'm scanning. This gentleman is an example of an emergency medical hologram program patented by Dr. Lewis Zimmerman, Starfleet.
Very good, sir. And if you are who your uniforms indicate you to be, you and your colleague are agents of a Department of Temporal Investigations. Welcome to the USS Voyager.
Agent Stalmer and Luxley, take us to your captain.
Wait, did you say Borg? Prisoner?
We found a single drone survivor injured in the wreckage of a scout ship. When it regained consciousness, it claimed it had recovered its sense of individuality and wanted to defect.
A Borg wanted to defect?
Well, it was defective.
And you believed it?
I didn't. In fact, I'm rather looking forward to saying I told you so.
Are you?
Yes, it's a sort of hobby of mine. Clearly, this space-time rupture is the result of a Borg plot. Already, our power has begun draining away.
I doubt it's that simple.
How do you know?
Do Borg weapons bring back Jimmy Stewart?
What are you talking
about? Well, this is the strangest thing I've seen since I've been talking.
Stardate 50627.6, Monday, 3.05 p.m. We were taken to the bridge, where we met the greatest menace to temporal integrity since James T. Kirk himself. Her, Captain Catherine Janeway. Needless to say, it wasn't a pleasant experience.
What do you mean I can't take my crew home through the breach?
We're not here to alter the timeline.
We're here to repair it.
Besides, we don't like you very much.
There are entire courses about what you've done to the timeline.
But we're only talking about stepping 4 months into the future.
And who knows what your crew is meant to accomplish here in the next 4 months, Captain? Besides, we don't have enough time right now to perform quantum remodulation on your entire crew.
Not to mention something even more important.
And that would be?
DTI Regulation 32A, Subsection 5. No DTI agent shall permit unauthorized time travel under any circumstances.
Well, if that's the case, why are you even talking to me? Aren't you changing time just by being here?
Regulation 567, Subsection 12, Paragraph 4. If space-time itself is endangered, temporal locals may be contacted directly for assistance.
Captain, look out. I could not keep him from reaching the bridge.
Mr. Tuvok, what?
Perish at the hands of Richard the Lionheart!
Mr. Kim, duck! Mr. Paris, watch out for that sword!
Feel the wrath of my sword, Buzzum and Flow!
Captain, permit me to deal with this temporal violation. Be careful, Seven.
Foul succubus, conjured from hell to stop me. Well, none can stop King Richard of England.
Thank you, Seven. We've got no room for kings on my ship.
Captain Janeway. Your doctor told us that the breach appeared at exactly the point where your Borg defector was resting.
That's correct.
And on Deep Space Nine, the breach appeared exactly where Gul Magak was standing.
You think the Borg are in on this plan with the Cardassians?
I'm beginning to think the Cardassian theory was a mistake. Garrick's right. They're bad, but they're not that bad.
But the Borg have attempted to eradicate the Federation from the timeline once before.
Uh-huh. This has the Borg's fingerprint implants all over it.
Neelix to Janeway! Neelix to Janeway!
What's up, Mr. Neelix?
Something very strange is happening in the mess hall, Captain. You'd better see this for yourself.
Stardate 50627.7, 3:22 p.m. We followed Janeway and Seven to the mess hall, where we discovered an unusual side effect of the breach's displacement. It apparently makes you very hungry.
Hey, get that pass over here. Thank you. You want to pass me another heap of health and emblem mashed potatoes there, boy?
Any time, Pilgrim. Always glad to help out a fellow performer.
Hey, look, everybody! It's the Lady Captain! Hi, lady!
Who is that?
Jerry Lewis, one of Earth's greatest comedians.
No wonder humans never get my jokes.
Oh, Captain, thank the stars!
Neelix, I see you've got a full house tonight.
Yes, Neelix, have you no vegetables but these cucumbers?
Sorry, Dr. Johnson, but no, I don't.
Cucumbers, heck. A cucumber should be thinly sliced, well dressed with pepper and vinegar, and then thrown out.
Samuel Johnson, 18th century writer and lexicographer.
Hey, he was the guy who wrote the first dictionary. How do you know how to spell all the words?
Stephen Wright, 20th century comedian.
Hey, if this ship travels at the speed of light, how do the headlights work?
We have to do something about this. This is insane.
All the same, this isn't as bad as DS9.
Clarify.
The temporal displacement's only affecting individual people here. On DS9, they were getting whole armies and vehicles.
We're getting closer to the source of the breach.
Excuse me, that was very good detective work, boys. Sorry, I'm Lieutenant Columbo, LAPD. Say, Captain, do you have a moment? There's just one more thing that's bothering me.
And that is?
You look an awful lot like my wife.
Captain, you better have your security forces round up these people and put them in the brig.
For what purpose? They're doing no harm.
Not yet. Look.
I tell you, all of you, we have been displaced from time. We few, we proud, we happy band of brothers. We represent the skills and knowledge of a cross-section of centuries. Let us join together and take this ship.
That isn't...
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Con!
Mr. Tuvok, seal off the mess hall. Use force fields. Don't let anyone in or out.
May I point out, Captain, that we'll leave you locked in with a homicidal, genetically superior megalomaniac.
Just do it, Tuvok. Captain, the occasions when you actually listen to Mr. Tuvok are getting much less frequent.
You mean we actually are locked in with a homicidal megalomaniac?
Homicidal... genetically superior megalomaniac. Please, my culinary friend, from the woefully boring color scheme of self-righteous off-white, I surmise this to be a Federation starship. And do you know what I intend to do now?
Enlighten us, Khan. Go on, get hypnotized by the sound of your own voice.
I mean to take the freedom that this temporal breach has given me. I mean to travel in time myself as long as it takes until I find... Kirk. And when I do, I will make him suffer. The way I suffered. The way she suffered.
Khan, you are insufferable.
I will take control of this ship, as is my right. I will have my revenge.
I don't think so, my brother.
Why not?
Because I have a dream. I have a dream where the sons of slaves and the sons of slave owners will sit together at the table of brotherhood.
Oh, no, not a speech about love and brotherhood, anything but that.
And on that day, we will stand upon the mountain.
Shut up, please, shut up.
And raise our faces to the heavens.
No more, I beg of you.
And we will cry, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Curse you.
Look, someone's running up to Khan.
Well, Mr. King is distracting him.
Whoever it is, he just took out a genetically enhanced Superman with one punch.
Sir, who are you?
Well, when you're the Prime Minister of Canada, you've got to know how to defend yourself against hooligans. Just be glad I didn't strangle him.
Canada?
An insignificant 20th century nation. In the year 2017, it was bought by Microsoft.
John, that one went right to the kisser. Talk about as good as the work I've been doing on Liberty Balance.
Mr. Stewart, I thought you were in sick bay.
Sick bay? What sick bay? I just got here.
Temporal duplication. Things are getting worse.
Let's move.
Start 80627.8, 4.05 p.m. We secured Khan in the brig and relocated to sick bay. Following our instructions, Captain Janeway terminated all unnecessary power use in order to slow the draining effect of the breach. Then we planned our next move.
So if all this lunacy is the result of a Borg plot to destroy humanity, where does that leave us?
Same place we were before. We have to go back into the breach to find the origin of the rupture, which might be a Borg mothership.
Yes, sir?
Then let me send Seven with you. She and I handled a similar attack from the Borg once before. If this is a Borg plot, she'll be useful.
Not to mention infinitely easier on the eyes.
Indeed. My ocular implant does allow me to sense temporal energies.
Yes, that is of course what I meant.
Can we trust her? She's a Borg.
Ex-Borg. I removed the implant that linked her to the collective myself. She's fully independent and self-sufficient now.
I am fully independent and self-sufficient now.
She has a mind of her own and can think for herself.
I have a mind of my own and can think for myself.
These aren't the droids she's looking for.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
I get such a kick out of doing that.
What do you think, Gomer?
We could definitely use another edge.
Well, that's a smart thing to say. I gotta say, always have an edge, you know. But I was just saying on the set of Vertigo.
Oh, no, another one.
Well, another what? Well, I just strolled here while filming Rear Window. Hey, who are you? Damn, you're a good-looking man. Well, thanks there, mister. Hey, wait a minute there. What are you? Some kind of a pansy ass or something?
Hey, who you call a pansy ass?
But damn, it's another me. Same as the first me. You know, I'm a pretty pushy son of a bitch, yeah.
Who you call a son of a bitch?
I'm calling you a son of a bitch.
We gotta fix this now. One Jimmy Stewart was almost too much of the universe to handle anyway.
Hold still, Seven, while we remodulate your quantum signature.
Well, are we ready?
Are you ever ready to face a possible Borg attack?
No, but it's tradition to ask.
Good luck, agents, and make sure you bring Seven back safe and sound.
Yes,
Mr. Stewart?
Yeah?
Can I have your autograph?
We emerge from the breach, this time prepared to confront a possible Borg attack on the other side. Local stardate 46245.2, Thursday, 9:07 p.m. Again, our surroundings were not what we expected.
Well, unless the Borg have assimilated an interior designer from the Federation, I'd say we are definitely not on a Borg ship.
You are correct. This is not Borg technology. This appears to be the bridge of a Federation starship.
Not just any starship. This is the bridge of the Enterprise D.
Commanded by Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
But what's happened to everyone? They're not moving. They're like statues.
Captain Sisko, you are in error. They are indeed moving, albeit very slowly.
She's right. The crew is experiencing a Dali paradox.
Dali paradox?
Also known as the melting clock effect. A temporal fissure that slows the passage of time to a gradual halt.
Why aren't we affected?
I assume it's the ever-versatile temporal remodulation?
Exactly. Luxley, can you get a reading with your chronometric tricorder?
I'm scanning. The breach is causing this. I'm picking up temporal phase variations all over the ship.
I concur. Chronoton flux has increased by 0.079.
We're closer to the source.
Uh-huh. That explains why we're getting local paradoxes instead of historical incursions. Ooh.
Gentlemen, this cybernetic drone is trying to communicate with me.
That's no drone, it's Lieutenant Commander Data.
He is endeavoring to link his biorhythmic matrix with that of my own. I shall assist the process.
Whoa.
Romulan conspiracy?
Romulan conspiracy? Don't you mean Borg conspiracy?
Borg conspiracy? Ah, I understand. One of you is a Borg.
I am no longer part of the collective. We have surmised that this temporal breach is part of a Borg plot to dominate the universe.
Interesting. We have surmised that the temporal breach is part of a Romulan plot to dominate the universe.
Romulans, Cardassians, and Borg.
Oh, my.
What's happening?
The breach.
It's Glunk.
And in its place is a Romulan.
Yes, it is Similac, attaché to Romulan Ambassador Tonka. She was requesting asylum aboard the Enterprise. Her wish was to defect to the Federation.
Another defection. Something's going on here.
The crew seems to be moving normally now.
Similac is speaking. Now we'll get to the bottom of this.
Well, I'd say that clears everything up.
Check your universal translators for Romulan dialect.
She is not speaking in her native tongue. I believe she is speaking
backwards. Look, everyone is moving backwards. Captain Picard, can you understand me?
Yeah, Nico, you're rebellion.
The breach is generating a reverse paradox.
I'll try using my quantum phase inhibitor.
It's working. We should start resuming forward chronology again.
Captain Picard, who are these people? Are they members of your crew?
Captain, look! Those people just appeared out of nowhere.
I see them, number one. Red alert, intruders on the breach. I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Please identify yourselves.
Captain, we mean you no harm.
Captain, we're here to help you.
Captain, this could be a plot of the Romulan Empire to try and stop me from defecting.
Captain, I assure you, we are not in league with the Romulans.
Captain, you don't know me yet, but I'm Benjamin Sisko.
Captain, we are about to experience an intense temporal disturbance.
Captain, I sense confusion.
Captain, one of them appears to be a Borg.
Captain, I gotta go to the washroom.
Shut up, Wesley.
Mr. Ward, set your phaser on stun. Fire at the ball.
Everyone shield yourselves. I will attempt to disarm him.
Know the wrath of my phaser. Take that! And that! And that! And now!
Mr. Ward, what happened?
She took it.
Captain Picard, something is happening to me.
Similac, what's wrong? Is it the Borg? Are they trying to assimilate you?
Picard, I have deceived you. I am...
Similac! Captain, she's gone!
A large pulsating energy field has replaced her!
We've caught to the point in the time where the breach appeared.
And when the Romulan disappeared.
Who are you people, and what kind of diabolical plan is this?
Captain, my positronic neural net registers that we have been backwards and forwards through the same sequence of events, 6 separate times. The Enterprise is in a temporal loop caused by this anomaly. I believe that these people are here to help us. We should listen to what they have to say.
Captain, I'm Agent Dahmer, and this is Agent Luxley of the Department of Temporal Investigations. We're investigating a life-threatening disturbance to the space-time continuum, culminating in this rupture. If you'll give us a moment, we'll explain everything.
All right, into my ready room.
Stardate 46245.3. We reconvened in Captain Picard's ready room. It's 9:53 p.m. I explain the situation as it currently stood.
Agent Dahmer, I will help you all that I can. But this Borg, you say she is a Borg of the future?
That is correct.
Well, if you're a Borg of the future, assimilate me now.
Number one, Captain, stop stroking your beard. Now, getting back to the matter at hand, Mr. Data, what has been our course of action on the previous occasions when the breach appeared?
In all 6 versions of the timeline, we have concluded Romulan treachery.
A sound deduction, though flawed. We believe that the Borg have been attempting to create a temporal vortex.
No, it can't be the Borg. If it was, I would have had agonizing nightmares of a time I was assimilated and transformed into the Locutus of Borg. And so far, I haven't had one bloody flashback.
You're right. There's something strange about each situation just before the rupture occurs. A Cardassian Gull, a renegade Borg, and a Romulan attaché. Each wanted to defect.
And each was one of our greatest enemies. And what of Semelak's dying words, that she had deceived me?
I sense something is very wrong. Something is very wrong. Something is very wrong.
I need to calm my nerves. Calm my nerves. Calm my nerves.
What's happening to the captain? Happening to the captain? Happening to the captain?
Computer, T. Earl Greyheart. T. Earl Greyheart. T. Earl Greyheart.
What's happening to them?
It's the Newton paradox.
Also known as the hiccup effect. A short time displacement which repeats itself in a sequence of three.
Captain, my beard! Captain, my beard! Captain, my beard!
Earl Greyheart! Earl Greyheart! Earl Greyheart!
Do something or we'll be drowning in tea.
I'll try a short blast of antimatter with a quantometer probe.
Yeah. Captain Picard, are you all right?
There are four lights!
What? I mean, I know who is behind this. It can only be Q.
Jean-Luc Picard, I charge you with being grievously savage and inferior. How do you plead?
Q, I knew this had to be your doing.
But of course, this entire situation is just too weird not to involve me. But, Smoke Capitan, it's wonderful to see you again. How about a big hug?
What are you up to this time, Q?
We haven't finished with the introductions, and I don't want to be accused of being rude. Now, let's start with the redoubtable Commander Riker. Still sporting the beard, I see. One day, your shaving it off will be the highlight of a rather dull adventure. the lovely counselor, understatement. I sense that you feel insulted, perhaps because you have been. And there's Commander Gadget. Tell me, have you done a self-diagnostic lately? I think you have a screw loose. And a terminally aggressive microbrain.
You are completely without honor.
Why did I know you were going to say that? Now I ask you, everyone, is there anyone in the galaxy more annoying than our Mr. Worf?
Jar Jar Binks?
I stand corrected. Have we met?
A Garrick, a humble tailor.
Ah yes, from Deep Dish 9. Now you I like. Everyone else around here is so serious. Let's see, who else? Picard, protect me. It's the Cisco Kid! You're not going to hit me again, are you?
You struck Q.
I'm afraid so.
Bravo!
And who's that over there? No, it can't be. It is 7-Eleven. Miss Playboric Centerfold. Tell me, Seven, how's Captain Kate? You know she has a huge crush on me.
She believes you to be one of the greatest menaces in the universe.
Always sublimating her true feelings, that's our Kate. And, of course, Dolmer and Luxley. Or is it Mulder and Scully? Oh. Now, did I miss anyone? Oh, yes. Shut up, Wesley!
All right, mister. Are you through with the theatrics? Because we've got a universe to save.
Oh, I'm sorry to have interrupted your little investigation, but face it. You don't even know who's been killed, let alone who done it.
Why don't you fill us in?
Well, Picard and Sisko almost had it. This all began as a test of humanity. The Q Continuum wanted to study the effects of stress and hostility on the human species.
Don't you omnipotent beings have anything better to do than study the habits of humans?
You'd think so, but no.
Was destroying the universe part of your plan, Q?
Hardly. Besides, Jean-Luc, this time I had nothing to do with it. It was a different Q who was conducting this test, existing at four points in space-time simultaneously. Q was pretending to be a defecting Cardassian, a defecting Borg, and a defecting Romulan.
You said 4 points.
Yes, I did. Q had just assumed the guise of defecting Klingon in a fourth timeline when something terrible happened.
And what was that?
He was murdered.
Murdered?
That's right. Murdered!
I find it difficult to credit.
Excuse me, might I interject for a moment?
Murdered! Thank you, carry on.
But how could someone have killed a Q?
As much as I hate to admit it, I don't know.
It is unlikely that the mere death of a Q would cause a temporal breach, such as the one we are witnessing.
You are correct. Voyager recorded the death of a Q in 2372. It caused a civil war within the Q Continuum, but the fate of the universe was not at risk.
Quite right, C-3PO.
and R2-D cup. But this is no ordinary murder. When this cue was struck down, it sent a ripple through to the heart of the continuum. An alien energy began to eradicate the very existence of the cue.
And that's what blew a hole in the space-time continuum.
I tried to seal the breach, but it drained my powers, and I was barely able to make it here to the Enterprise. And the breach, it's still open. You must help me, Jean-Luc. We're talking about the genocide of the entire Q-continuum. And incidentally, that's the universe.
All right, Q. I'll help you. You have judged humanity for its savagery on numerous occasions. Well, we savage humans are going to try to save the universe. And your sorry asses as well.
Thank you, mon capitaine. I knew you wouldn't let me down.
Agent Domer, I insist on accompanying you on the rest of your journey. My experience with the Q continuum should prove useful. What was that?
Tempest Fugit.
Time flies. We emerge from the breach in the fourth and final timeline, hoping to find the answer to the mystery, what could kill a Q? Local stardate 38929.3. Tuesday, 2:34 p.m. This time, we found ourselves faced with something more startling than Mongol hordes, dead celebrities, or reverse paradoxes. It was a beehive hairdo.
Oh my goodness!
Sorry to have startled you, miss.
Rand. Yeoman Janice Rand.
I recognize that uniform. 23rd century regulation Starfleet uniform of the female variety. With 23rd century regulation female hair.
Her hair is unsuitable for combat. And her uniform does not adequately cover her legs. Both seem to be designed solely for visual gratification.
Yes. That's clearly unheard of where you come from.
Who are you people?
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
What do you mean? You're on the Enterprise.
I thought it looked familiar here. We're on the original Enterprise. The Enterprise of Captain Kirk. James Kirk, a legend.
Kirk.
Why did it have to be
Kirk?
We should have known.
Kirk's a one-man temporal anomaly.
He makes Janeway look like a Sunday driver.
The man's a nightmare.
A menace.
A phantom menace.
Come on, I'll take you to him. He told me to wait here for him, but I think this qualifies as a command override. I don't know how you got in there, but I guess I should still lock the door anyway. Follow me.
I see you're still studying those readings, Agent Bluxley. What had you so engrossed?
This is definitely the timeline in which the breach originated.
I assume that's why there are no temporal anomalies here.
And the energy draining has barely begun in this timeline.
We're in the eye of the storm.
In this turbo lift, please. Bridge.
We're about to meet James Kirk, the greatest hero in the history of Starfleet.
Oh, bow before the glory of James Kirk! Someone get me a comb. I need to fix my hair. Uhura. Any communications?
Incoming message from the Andorian, sir.
Lieutenant Uhura, I don't ask you if there's any communications. You can tell me about the stupid little Andorians and their stupid little problems on their stupid little planet. I ask you if there's any communications. You can tell me that there's no response. Now, let's try it again. Any communications?
Sir, there's no response.
Now, there's a good girl. Sulu. What's our course?
Leaving sector 14 for sector 15, Captain.
Sulu, the second we see some alien ship, I want you to shoot it. Scotty! Scotty, I need more power!
But
Captain, I purr like a kitten, sir.
Not the ship, Scotty. Me, personally. I need more power.
Captain,
hey. Everyone, just be quiet. My ego needed a moment of silence.
Captain, I have some people to see you. They materialized in your quarters.
Those were his quarters?
Perhaps he needs a temporal breach to lull him to sleep at night.
Step forward. I'm Captain James T. Kirk, the U.S. Enterprise.
Captain, I'm Agent Dahmer, and this is Agent Luxley of the Department of Temporal Investigations. We're from the 24th century.
We're here to inform you of a dangerous temporal breach that's materialized on your ship.
It threatens all time.
It also threatens space.
It will bring temporal disturbances.
The dead rising from their graves.
Keep leaking out of cans.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
I'm supposed to believe this. Can't anybody here talk sense?
Jim, you want sense? Your old country doctor will dispense a little. We should hear them out. Maybe they really are from the future.
Bones, I've had just about enough of your lecturing. I'm going to put them all on the brig.
The brig?
Captain, you've got to listen to us. The breach is draining energy. With time, it will destroy not only your ship, but all of time and space.
Forget it. There isn't a single one of you that can persuade me that what you're saying is true.
Perhaps I can persuade you, Captain.
There isn't a chance in... Why, hello. I sense that you could persuade me about many things. I'd love the opportunity to be persuaded. And then maybe I could persuade you back. You look like an alien. Tell me, has anyone ever explained to you what is this thing called KISS?
I detect that you are wearing artificial hair.
Throw them into the brig! Into the brig! Get them off my bridge! Get them off my bridge!
Jim, you can't just go around putting everyone in the brig!
That's enough of your backstop bones! It's the brig for you, too!
Jim, I'm a doctor, not a prisoner!
Physician, shut thyself up! Security, take them all to the brig, and someone get me a mirror. I need to admire myself and fast.
3:05 p.m. Security took us to the brig. Someone was already there. The Vulcan First Officer Spock. Apparently Kirk had placed him in the brig earlier that day. We brought him and the doctor up to date on our mission.
Fascinating. Truly fascinating.
Yeah, just imagine. Visitors from the future.
What I found fascinating, Doctor, was the observation about the captain's hair.
Something is obviously wrong with Captain Kirk. He wasn't like this when I saw him during the Tribble incident.
You're right. There's something wrong with him. I'm not even sure that is Jim Kirk.
Or his hair.
The rupture was in Kirk's quarters. We should go back and take a closer look.
Should we not simply repair the rupture and return to our own timelines?
Yes, ma'am. We could repair the rupture. We've got the equipment.
But if whatever caused the rupture to come into being is still here, this whole thing could happen again in the future.
Or the past.
We've got to find out who killed the Q.
All that is immaterial as long as we're still in this cell. At least they haven't posted a guard.
I could connect the circuitry with my Borg implants and command the cell to turn off its energy barrier, but I cannot communicate with unfamiliar circuitry.
Then I will give you the knowledge you need.
Spock! Are you talking about what I think you're talking about?
Yes, Doctor. I will mind meld with her. With my knowledge of the circuitry, she will be able to control it.
Thanks to Tuvok, I am familiar with this Vulcan ritual. Very well. Begin.
Do be careful, Mr. Spock. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Be calm. Your mind is blank. Open your mind to me. I sense your Katra, and you sense mine. Together, we walk the same path. We are one entity. Your mind is my mind. Your soul is my soul. Your bosom.
Doesn't he usually put his hand on the forehead?
You understand. The circuitry of his death. You have the knowledge you need.
Now our minds are separate once more. Are you all right?
Was it logical for you two?
Go ahead, Seven. Unlock the cell barrier.
I shall attempt to do so.
You did it, my dear! Well done!
It was satisfying.
Indeed.
Now that we're out of the cell, we should be able to get some temporal readings again. That's odd.
Uh-huh.
There are two temporal anomalies on this ship.
The rupture in Kirk's quarters.
And something in engineering.
I'll check out engineering.
I'll go with you.
Garrett, you're with us. Doctor, can you show us the way?
I'm a doctor, not a tour guide. But all right.
Mr. Spock, would you be so good as to lead the rest of us to Captain Kirk's quarters?
3:29 p.m. It was a 2-minute, 22-second walk to Kirk's cabin. Spock knew the entry code.
It is an illogical code. It consists of the two words, check war.
The temporal breach is against that wall there.
Look for anything unusual.
I shall endeavor to do so.
This is a most unusual object on the wall here. I have never seen it before.
It looks like some sort of view screen.
This button appears to activate it.
An image is coming into focus.
It appears to be a person.
He looks familiar.
Somebody, get me out of here.
Captain, it is good to see you again.
Spock, the feeling is mutual, of course. Who are your friends?
They are visitors from the future, Captain. Something has caused a temporal rupture, and they are here to fix it.
Agent Dahmer, Captain, Department of Temporal Investigations. Are you aware that another man is masquerading as you?
Absolutely. He's the man who trapped me in here. He's the man who took control of my ship and my crew. He's the man who intends to destroy me. And worst of all, he is me. The evil version of me from the Mirror Universe.
The Mirror Universe, of course.
We hate the Mirror Universe, almost as bad as a temporal anomaly.
This device I'm trapped in is a piece of alien technology called the Tantalus Field. Can you release me?
This button should allow you to escape, Captain.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm back.
Well done, Mr. Spock. And thank you, Miss... Well, hello. Tell me, has anyone ever explained to you what this thing called...
Captain Kirk! I'm Captain Sisko in the 24th century. Can you explain what's going on here?
Just the facts, please, Captain Kirk.
That other me, Mirror Kirk, he's on the run. Ever since I visited the Mirror Universe last year...
Breaking 7 regulations.
The Mirror Spock was... be turning the evil empire into a force of good. Kirk's a wanted man in that universe now, so he crossed over into ours. After he trapped me in the Tantalus Field, he took my place. Replaced me as captain of the Enterprise, commanded my crew, sat in my chair. I feel sore.
And then...
told me about his plan. Taunted me. Gloated. Reveled in his power. Sang Mr. Tambourine Man badly.
Good Lord. That's going too far.
He found out about an artifact the Enterprise was carrying. An artifact from the ancient race that created the Guardian of Forever. A device known as the Sword of the Guardian.
Oh no.
You've heard of this artifact, Agent Dahmer?
The Sword of the Guardian is notorious. You aim it at someone, and it destroys them.
It kills them.
Worse. It erases them from time, just as though they'd never existed. In the 24th century, it's safely under lock and key at Temporal Investigations Headquarters.
That's Mirror Kirk's plan. Erase Good Kirk from time, and you erase his meddling in the Mirror Universe.
And the Mirror Universe Kirk would still be captain of his Enterprise.
He was going to use the sword on me when a... Klingon defector entered his cabin. Only, it turned out that it wasn't really a Klingon, but some kind of godlike being.
The cube.
He warned Mir Kirk not to use the sword, that it would disrupt time and space. But Kirk used the sword on him, and there was a flash of light.
That is clearly what caused the temporal rupture.
Uh-huh. He murdered the cube, and with it, a good chunk of the temporal fabric, cold-blooded chronicide.
He's coming back for me. He had to recharge the sword. Now, he's going to get me. His energy was depleted.
The energy source in engineering. Better tell the others. Luxley, this is Dahmer. We've got the real Kirk. The other one is the renegade Kirk from the Mirror Universe.
Uh-huh. That explains why he's firing phaser blasts at us.
Our phasers are losing power. They must have been drained by passing through the rupture.
Perhaps we should try insulting his hair again.
That phaser still works. I think that'll keep him in the bay.
Listen, Luxley. That energy source, engineering, it's the Sword of the Guardian.
The Sword of the Guardian. Could this get any better?
He killed the cube, and now he's powering it up so he can use it on Kirk.
You're too late, you fools! I've got the Sword of the Guardian, and it's all charged up!
We've got to keep him from reaching the real Kirk. Dr. McCoy, if we fire at that control panel over there, will it keep him from reaching the bridge?
So, you've freed the other Kirk, and he's on the bridge, eh? Thanks for the tip, suckers!
It's on his way to the bridge.
Who made him think that the real Kirk was on the bridge? Very devious, Captain Picard. You'd make a good Cardassian.
I'll try to take that as a compliment.
Oh, you probably shouldn't.
Quick, back to Kirk's quarters to join the others.
4:04 p.m. Within minutes, they'd return to Kirk's cabin. We didn't have much time. It wouldn't be long before Mir Kirk figured out what had happened and returned to finish off the job.
We outnumber him. Could we not simply overpower him?
That wouldn't be smart. If he hits even one of us with a sword, the repercussions to the timeline could be disastrous.
Can't we just escape through the rupture?
I'm not running from a fight.
Kirk's place is here. But perhaps we could use the rupture another way.
I take it you've got a plan.
Just in the nick.
Of time?
That goes without saying.
4:15 p.m. Sisko outlined his plan. It was unorthodox and broke more temporal regulations than you could shake a clock at. But it was our best bet. Picard, Seven, Sisko, and Garrick all prepared to return to their original timelines.
So we're all clear on the plan.
Garrick and I will inform Deep Space Nine of what needs to be done, and Seven will inform Captain Janeway.
I must say, I'm a little concerned that we'll be traveling back without the benefit of you DTI gentlemen and your temporal devices. You're absolutely sure we won't be scattered across time?
It's no problem.
We've stabilized the breach somewhat. Anyone can jump through safely now.
Captain Kirk, it's been an honor. May I say, if ever I am fighting a boring villain on a scaffold, as I try to stop him from destroying an innocent planet and have the opportunity to bring one man from a temporal nexus point to help me fight him, only to have him crushed to death under a bridge, you're the man for the job.
Sounds like fun.
Mr. Spock.
So?
I wish to stay, Mr. Spock. My intention is to stay by your side.
That is not logical, Seven. You are going in that breach back to Voyager where you belong. You are part of what makes the ship work, what keeps the ratings going.
That is irrelevant. What about us, Mr. Spock?
Seven, I do not find nobility to be a logical concept, but it is a relatively uncomplicated matter to discern that the problems of two people of non-gigantic size do not amount to a small elevation of leguminous seeds in this crazy temporal spatial continuum.
I understand. We will always have the mind meld.
I am currently looking at you, kid.
Hey, isn't anyone gonna wish me goodbye?
Goodbye, Dr. McCoy. I admire your temper.
Temper? What damn temper are you talking about?
Mr. Dahmer, Mr. Luxley, I look forward to seeing you again soon on Deep Space Nine. Picard, Seven, Garrick.
Once more into the temporal breach, dear friends.
p.m. Spock and McCoy left to alert security that they would soon be needed to apprehend the evil Kirk. But first, we needed to deal with the sword and the Guardian. Loxley and I hid in Kirk's closet, while Kirk taunted his counterpart over the ship's loudspeaker.
Attention, all decks. This is Captain Kirk. And when I say Captain Kirk, I mean good-looking, charming, lovable, daredevil James T. Kirk. Not to be confused with the inept, self-glorifying, madly delusional being who calls himself James Kirk. You may have the ego to be James Kirk, and you've certainly got the pauses. But you're just an amateur. I'm waiting with my quarters. I'll see you soon, Captain Jerk.
p.m. Mir Cook Kirk took the bait. We could only hope that DS9, Voyager, and the Enterprise-D had done their part by now.
Kirk! You're a good-looking man, Kirk. I hate to kill you.
You're a good-looking man, Kirk. I hate to die.
You must have the biggest ego of the galaxy.
The second biggest, Kirk.
I see we're standing next to that temporal breach. Well, if you're expecting someone to jump right out and save you, you're too late. I'm holding the sword of the Guardian right now, and it's all charged up, and all I have to do is use it. Then it's goodbye, good Kirk. Goodbye, timeline with good Kirk. Goodbye, good Kirk, interfering in my evil universe.
I'll give you this much. You sure talk enough to be Kirk.
Now, watch me kick ass like Kirk. The sword of the Guardian. What's happening?
What's the matter, Kirk? Forget to pay your weapon of ultimate destruction bills?
The sword of the Guardian is not working, but it was fully charged. It was fully charged.
And now it's fully decharged.
You've been hiding here all along.
That's right, mister.
But what happened?
The temporal breach absorbs energy.
It hadn't started draining much energy in this timeline.
But the more you feed it energy, the more energy it drains.
We sent Sisko, Seven, and Picard back to their ships to deplete the feeding of much of the energy as possible into the time breach.
That gave the breach enough power to drain the Sword of the Guardian.
Since you're standing right next to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No!
Now you're under arrest, mister.
We're committing 6 separate temporal violations under the Valdemar Code.
Gentlemen, let me handle this. I owe him one.
I can still kill you with my bare hands, Kirk.
Look out!
One punch is all it will take to finish this up, Kirk!
Don't mind if I do! Weirdly enough, I always wanted to do that.
Captain, we are here with security.
Well done, Jim!
Thank you, gentlemen.
Time for me to leave.
He's getting away.
He's heading for the breach.
And he's still got the Sword of the Guardian.
We've got to follow.
There's no time. We fed too much energy to the rupture. If we don't close it now, it'll destroy all 4 timelines.
But Mirror Jim is still in there.
It'll have to be up to us now.
I'm using the quantum phase inhibitor.
That should do it.
The breach will close in 30 seconds.
Gentlemen, we'll have to do this again some time.
That was a joke.
We hate jokes.
Do us a favor, Kirk.
Stay in your own century.
Good luck. Show that other me who's boss.
4:46 p.m. Luxley and I went into the breach. Back through the timelines. Evil Mirror Kirk stayed just ahead of us the whole way.
It's another Enterprise.
It's one of the Kirks. Gosh, Mr. Kirk, I'm Wesley Crusher of Big Fear.
Shut up, Wesley.
Agents Dahmer and Luxley. Get them. It's Mayor Kirk.
Captain, I sense vanity.
You are a Kirk completely without honor.
Someone get him. I want his hairpiece.
No chance, Baldy.
He's heading back to the breach.
Goodbye, Picard. The breach will close up behind us and the temporal effects will disappear.
Good luck. Look, the breach is closing.
Captain Picard.
Number one.
My beard has been disappearing and growing back ever since this whole time anomaly started. Well, look, my beard, it's stable. My beard is stable.
Oh, shut up, Wesley.
I'm Riker.
Whatever.
Another starship.
Oh, it's James Kirk.
Oh, Myra, that's a wonderful Kirk.
Harvey, now look, it's Kirk.
My ocular implant recognizes that this is the Kirk that caused all the trouble.
And my ocular implant sure remember you.
If you're the one behind all this, I'm not about to let you go. Get him, Mr. Tuvok.
I'm attempting to do so, Captain, but my path is being blocked by Jimmy Stewart's.
Someone grab Mirror Kirk.
Agent Domer, we fed the breach like you said, but we're still being overrun by historical figures. Doctor, what's our most recent count on Jimmy Stewart's?
1,289, Captain.
Whoa, that sure is a lot of me.
1,290.
Don't worry, when the breach closes behind us, they'll all disappear.
I'm out of here.
Thank you for your assistance, Captain. Thank you, Seven.
Let's go.
Oh, thank goodness that irritating actor has vanished.
And the breach is closed.
And we missed out on another chance to go home.
Well, another day, another missing out on a chance to go home.
Spaceships! Nothing but spaceships!
I'll have you know that you're on a space station, mister. But either way, you're in deep space now.
Look out! He's making a break for it!
Evil Kirk!
You've run out of breach. There's nowhere else to run.
Come on, then. I'm James T. Kirk, the most vicious man in the history of the Empire. Though I was really cute as a little kid, and I won a pod race and everything. But I'll take you all on. I'll take you on with one hand tied behind my back. I'll take you on blindfolded. Know the wrath of my phaser. Take that, and that, and that, and that. Ah!
Mr. Worf, what happened?
I took it.
Stardate 5183.9, 9:17 p.m. The breach was closed, Kirk was in custody, and the timeline was safe again. Captain Sisko and Garak saw us to our shuttle.
What will become of the sword of the Guardian that Kirk brought with him?
We'll lock it up at Temporal Investigations Headquarters.
But I thought the 24th century version of the sword was already there. How can there be two swords in one time? If the 23rd century version was brought here, where did the 24th century version come from?
That's one of the Paradox Boys down at the lab.
The Paradox Boys?
Nobody knows where they came from either.
Well, here's your shuttle, agents.
You're to be congratulated, Captain. Your idea saved the day.
Not to mention an infinite number of years.
I'm glad it worked out. If we'd been just a little late, or if we'd started the draining process too early, in the end, it was all a question of... Tell me, do you know what the secret of comedy is?
No.
What's the secret of...
Timing.
Captain Sisko, if ever again the space-time continuum opens up and everything that we hold dear and good in this universe is sucked away, leaving utter chaos in its wake...
Yes?
Call someone else.
Yeah. Captain, sorry to interrupt, but I've got bad news.
Yes, Constable.
The renegade Kirk has escaped.
Escaped? He really is James Kirk.
Can we catch him, Odo?
I'm afraid he's already stolen a runabout. It's too late. Stardate 51928.8. Kirk was gone. But we'll get him someday. The Department of Temporal Investigations always gets its man. It's only a matter of, you know. But sometimes I wonder what he's up to.
I am the Borg Queen. You are a curious creature, but we will not assimilate you just yet. First, we wish to know, what is this thing called? Kiss.
I thought you'd never ask.